Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Here we are for another episode of Dem Vinyl Boys. If you were the quarterback of the football team in high school or the captain of the cheerleading squad, you probably did not jam this band, because this was not a band for the cool kids. This was a band for the nerds.
Star Wars nerds.
Yes. The kids that were at band camp had a real appreciation for this trio from Toronto.
T-Dot.
That's right.
What's Toronto, up?
We are the Vinyl Boys. We've got DJ Ramo G in the building. What's up? What's up?
Having a good time,
Yes, sir. Did your uncles listen to Rush?
No, they didn't, but because of the Trailer Park Boys, I know all about Rush, and I'm a huge fan.
How about you, Memphis? You said before the show you were like the quarterback of the football team, so of course you were not a fan of Rush.
I was not a fan of Rush because I didn't hear any of it, but I'm really excited that they from Toronto. I wonder if they like eat a lot of Tim Hortons and put gravy on their fries.
They like waffles and chicken, I hear, too.
I like it.
And
chicken
maple,
and waffles are great.
Maple syrup. They love their syrup up there
in
Toronto.
Who doesn't?
They do a good job of it.
And Tomcat, of course, you are a Tom, and they're arguably their biggest song is Tom Sawyer. So you have to have some love for them, right?
Damn right. I love that song. And actually, because my name's Tom, and I consider myself to be kind of a futuristic Tom Sawyer type of person. So I love that track. Plus, it's a good track.
They are a trio. Unlike a lot of bands that usually have four big guys in the band, the drummer, the bass player, the lead guitarist, the rhythm guitarist, or somebody on keys, this particular band was made up of three different nerds that people would call them nerds.
Nerds!
Sure. Nerds!
Geddy Lee, the lead singer, would play the bass. It's just a weird dynamic because usually the bass player is not the lead singer, but Geddy Lee was, and he had some kind of voice. We will get into this week's episode. We've decided the album from 1981 would suit us best here on Dem Vinyl Boys. This is the eighth studio album from the Canadian rock band Rush. It's called Moving Pictures, and Tomcat has it in his hand. DJ Tomcat on the 12 Neeks 1200s. Gonna drop the needle. What needles do we have? Shout them out.
These are Ortofons.
Of course we have Ortofons. Those are the kick-ass needles.
Yeah. Ortofons are the shit.
Ooh.
We're Ortofond of them.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. This one starts right off with a bang. Monday warrior, mean stride. Neil Peart on drums. Alex Lifeson on lead guitar. Geddy Lee on bass and lead vocals. They are the band Rush. This is Tom Sawyer.
I like
his mind is not for rent.
So what is this song about, Tomcat?
So this song is about, you know, Mark Twain's classic 1876 novel, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Yep.
Twain's book, Tom finds his way into different sorts of adventures and mishaps through the novel. And so this song is about Tom Sawyer, Mark Twain's book.
That's what's up, man.
For those of you that appreciate music, Tom Sawyer has the signature, and Tomcat will know this because he produces music, so maybe you can elaborate on what I'm about to say. But the song has 4/4 time signature during it, but there's also an instrumental in the closing where they switch it to 7/8 time. So I know that's 4/4 time is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then 7/8 would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, wow, they do that?
Like, isn't that how you would describe the difference between 4/4 time and 7/8 time?
It would be something like that. I'm not totally positive right off the top of my head. But, yeah, it changes like that. You know, it's not just a regular 4, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. It would be a 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, like a different swing in songs and things.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like it would be an up-tempoed
waltz, like it transitions up.
From a three.
The lyrics
to this are
awesome. I always watch this video of them playing this song live, right? And they're in like they're in a studio setting, and I love it. I watch this video and on YouTube. And the lyrics, it shows the lyrics on it, and they're awesome. If you really listen to what he's saying, it's really a just very futuristic type of lyrics.
That's what's up. You know, I was just looking at a photo of these guys, and they don't look like, to me, they don't look like nerds. They just look like regular dudes.
So what are you trying to say? All white people look the same, dog?
No.
Oh.
He's saying they don't look like nerds. They just look like regular white dudes.
No, I said they look like regular
dudes. So you're saying all white dudes look like nerds?
Back in the day, listen, we old enough to understand when people say nerds. When we saw nerds, you think of nerds with the thick glasses and the pocket protectors and
they're cool now.
And pants and all that. Oh, that's totally cool now, right? Yeah, but these dudes look, they look like a rock band.
They kind of look like a rock band.
I'm like, they're like nerds. Which is
I'm just
kind of
giving you a
nerd.
Hard time, but
I'm a musical nerd, so there you go.
They were technical music masters. I have a clip that I'm gonna play where they talk about when they would make songs in the studio, they would only make them to where you could play it live. Because that's how they became a band, and that's how they became good, and that's how they became popular. They didn't become popular because the radio station listened to Tom Sawyer and was like, this is rock and roll, put it on the radio. They got on the radio because they played so many freaking shows, and they technically were such a good band because they played so many shows that the fans were so loud about Rush that the rock programming, they ended up playing bands like Rush because they couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
When you listen to this, to me, it doesn't sound like Led Zeppelin. It doesn't sound like Pink Floyd. Maybe a little bit of it does at times. But they were unique in their own way to where radio didn't embrace them. It was the fans that embraced them and brought them up to where then radio started playing. This band had to put in a lot of work to get where they were.
Yeah, you got to pay your dues, folks.
It's dope. He's kind of like rapping. It's dope. Yeah. And at the end, in the beginning, he's like, Monday Warrior, today's Tom Sawyer. And at the end, he goes, exit the Warrior, today's Tom Sawyer. And like, it comes full circle. And the lyrics, like, they're dope if you look at them.
Actually, like I said, I was not familiar with this band. Like, I knew their name, but I didn't, you know, I don't know any of their music. I mean, I like this. This is dope.
It is.
Like,
no,
I'll rock with this.
They're great musicians, but I'm just going to make a hot take here and say that they all kind of look like serial killers.
Oh my god.
They got a weird look.
Well, what about that one guy, John Wayne Gacy? He was fat.
He was fat.
And none of them are, but still. Neat. Look at Ted Bundy. Mm-hmm. He was a striking gentleman.
You guys are freaking me out with these. Hey, and they both Floridians too.
Geddy Lee, though, that name, I like that Geddy Lee name. It could be the serial killer.
It could be.
Have you ever made a good quality rocker that does not look like a serial killer? Though, come on. Man.
Let's get a clip in here from Geddy Lee. Here he's talking about the writing process. He is a true rocker.
But that whole concept of having to play it live drove our arrangements. Yeah. Drove our songwriting. And so we'd be in the middle of writing a song, well, we could do this, but if we do that, it's gonna be impossible to play it live, so let's not do that. Yeah. And so in some ways, you limited the scope of the song in order for you to be true to your live architecture, you know, the three-piece thing that could be convincingly reproduced live. And that, for the longest time, was our mantra, really. Yeah. It was only later years where we started going, fuck it. What does the song need?
It needs 15 you know, tracks of guitar.
What does the song need? Does it really need that 15th track of guitar?
Yeah. No, but it's...
Which is very smart, because, like, if you record it that way in a studio, you can do whatever you want. You can add layer after layer. But then when you go out live, are you going to be able to recreate that for the audience live?
True.
You know?
Makes sense.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. But you want to, and he's saying you gotta limit yourself. They would want to put shit in there but they're like, if we put this in here, we're gonna have to perform it like this live. With this,
yeah,
you know, it's gonna be impossible.
Final Boys is being brought to you by Incogni. You know, it got to a point where I just stopped answering my phone because every time I would look, I wouldn't recognize the number. It would be some kind of scam. At this point, your phone number is out there all over the internet. You get a ton of spam in your email. It ends up wasting a lot of time. And time is precious these days. Anybody can access your personal information. All these personal search sites, plus there's marketing companies out there that when you put your address into the website, all of a sudden now everybody's got your address and they know more and more about you. And some of these people that get your information have bad intentions. That's why the crew here at Dim Vinyl Boys, ever since we've got hooked up with Incogni, we don't get those robocalls anymore. I don't get nearly as many spam emails, and we're excited that we have this offer for you. Since you listened to this episode here of Dim Vinyl Boys, we want to give you 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Head to incogni.com/vinylboys. That's incogni.com/vinylboys with a Z. And use our code VINYLBOYS with a Z to redeem the offer. We have the link in the description of this episode to make it real easy for you. That's 60% off an annual Incogni plan by using our code VINYLBOYS. That's 60% off. Don't let these companies exploit your personal information any longer. Sign up now, incogni.com/vinylboys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Neil Peart goes down as one of the greatest drummers of all time, and it's true because of his style, the way, not only his style, but the fact that he had so many drums. You would see 9 tom-tom drums in his kit. He'd have 10 cymbals in his kit. He'd be surrounded by drums. He'd have the little side little cowbells and different various items he would grab. At one point, he would even play Geddy Lee's bass with his drumsticks.
That's crazy.
And he was also an adventurous guy. He loved riding motorcycles. So there was one tour where he did nothing but ride his motorcycle between every single gig. And you're talking about traveling 300 miles between every gig. And he would always say that the lead singer, he had the worst job, but the drummer had the hardest job. Because for 3 hours, this guy, Neil Peart, had to play these drums. It is physical to play Rush music. I mean, you hear these fills, and you're going to hear it throughout the album. Drums like you've never heard before. And when you hear the fact that everything they do in the studio that you hear on these albums, this guy, Neil's playing this live during the show. He got to where he rode his motorcycle so much that it started messing up his feet. Always in boots. They'd get wet. He ended up having problems with his feet. Physically, he was the one that kind of ended the run for the band, which was a long time, 40 years.
Yeah.
But his feet and the physicality, when you're 65 years old and you're trying to play these roles and play them for 3 hours a night, night after night, like this band does, again, Neil Peart, tip of the drumsticks to you. One of the great percussionists we'll ever see play the drums.
Yeah, he's nice. This is my first time hearing him. So I got a little insight on that to back it up. So,
who is the greatest drummer according to the internet, Memphis?
So according to Drumeo, Neil Peart was ranked all time as the all-time greatest drummer.
Wow.
But according to Rolling Stone, the top 100 list, he ranks 4th, only behind Ginger Baker from the band Cream. You got Keith Moon.
From The Who.
From The Who. John
Bonham.
John Bonham
from Led Zeppelin.
Right, and then Neil Peart.
Yeah, so he's getting a lot. He's top 5 everywhere you look.
And so, they badasses.
He's in everybody's top 5.
This song, Red Barchetta, is a futuristic song about a farmer who keeps a red barchetta in his barn. What is a red barchetta, you might ask?
What is a red barchetta?
It is a Ferrari.
Like a
1948 Ferrari 166mm. In the automotive industry, the term is used for a 2-seat car without any kind of a roof. A sports car.
Okay.
All right.
The drummer, to go back to Neil Peart, who I think could be the biggest star of this band. And we're going to keep going back to the drummer position here because he's such a big star. But he also wrote books And he was also called the Silver Surfer because you mentioned cars. The guy collects muscle cars. He really is a man's man, this guy, Neil Peart. He kicks ass.
Man.
Here's a clip from Neil Peart talking about capturing his adventures and his travels as he was touring the world doing all these shows, being a drummer and kicking ass. Let's hear from Neil Peart here in just 1 second when I get my
Hence
fucking
the song
player.
About the Ferrari, you know what I'm saying? He was a car guy.
Yeah.
Roadshow was a concert tour by motorcycle, which I thought was or Landscape with Drums, which I thought was another interesting play on the common title. But after that, I had the same sort of crisis about what do I want to write about now, having captured so much. And then I thought, well, I'll just take a break and write short pieces. So that I found after about 3 or 4 years, suddenly I had a book's worth of stories. And that became the next volume. This was the special limited edition with the drummer's bass drum crest on the front. And it became a book far and away that included stories that ranged so far from not just motorcycle travels and not just drumming stories, but cross-country skiing up in Quebec and snowshoeing up in Quebec. They're all my adventures, let's face it. Musical adventures, touring adventures, they're all something that I wish to share with others.
Interesting. I can dig that, man. I can totally dig that.
He was an adventurous guy, that Neil Peart, and he died in 2020, lived to be 67, I do believe.
Oh, because I was going to ask, are they all still with us? But
The three members of the band Rush, Geddy Lee, the singer and the bass player, he's still alive, and I want to say 71 as we're doing this podcast in 2024. Alex Lifeson, still alive, and they're all right around the same age. They started when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great story about how they would travel. You think rock band, you think glamorous.
Right.
Not so much with Rush when they first got their start, because they talk about it in this documentary I watched where they start out in a car. Four guys in a car. There was another member of Rush, but he was busy with other things and he missed a couple shows and they kind of just left him in the dust. So that guy, we won't even name his name.
I was going to say, who is that guy?
Jeff Jones. Jeff Jones ended up not being a part of the band because he left the band. He had better things to do. But it's fine. There's four guys in the beginning and they're in a car, and the one guy, Alex, says that he would sleep with his head on the front of the headrest on the seat in front of him, and they couldn't get any rest, and they were playing six nights a week and they're traveling from town to town in a car, plus they had a little van that had their equipment in it, and they would do shows and shows and shows and shows. That's how they got so good. I mean, these bands don't get good just overnight. I've realized it trying to learn guitar myself. You are not going to be good on the guitar thinking you're just going to play a couple hours here and a couple hours there. You really have to almost annoy the people around you that you play so much.
Yep.
So that's what these guys did. Then they upgraded. They started getting enough to where they got a van. And these guys were like thinking that they were living the life. They would talk about who got to sleep in the back of the van on the equipment so they could actually lay down. And then, of course, they upgraded to an RV. This went on for 10 years, this band.
That's what's something. Well, I like that.
Tenement on wheels, Eddie.
They lived the real rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah.
So you kids out there that just got your band together, maybe you're 3 or 4 years in, and you're still cruising around in just a minivan, don't say that to Rush, because they fucking did it, kids.
They did it.
10 fucking years.
Yep.
Until they got a nice rig.
Do it.
Yeah, you're not even 10 years old.
Appreciate what you got.
This song is called YYZ.
Toronto.
What is YYZ?
That's Toronto.
That's their international airport code.
Yeah.
This is all instrumental, this song. Yeah. And it was nominated runner-up Best Rock Instrumental Award in 1982 Grammys. It lost to The Police's song Behind My Camel Toe. No, just Behind My Camel.
I would put this song in my set. I would put this in one of my vinyl sets. I really like this song.
This?
Yeah, I would put this in my set. I would work this in somehow. Because it's all instrumental. You can go a lot of different ways with this. You can go a lot of different ways with this. Yeah, YYZ. Yeah, I saw it. I'm like, oh, YYZ. I'm like, okay, I know that. I know that code. Freaking Toronto.
In the March 2004 issue of Guitar World magazine, Alex Lifeson explained the bizarre sounding harmonics that are heard here in the solo. I create them by playing off the pick and my thumb. I hold the pick so there's a slight edge of it showing between my thumb and my finger. This allows my thumb to mute the string, and that's what causes the harmonic to ring.
That's pretty interesting, because it's almost like You got a double tool there.
Yeah. He's using like his thumb and his finger to make a different sound.
All three fingers you got. You know?
These were smart guys too, because you just, when you hear them speak, they're intelligent. Another thing that was smart about these guys is they did their drugs. They'll admit that they snorted some coke.
Me
that
too.
They drank some beers.
Me too.
They snorted coke off girls' tits.
Me
but
too.
Why not? Well, I haven't done that, but
they also respected the craft of musicianship so much that they would not get like Motley Crue, you know, where they would get so fucked up that you can't even hardly keep time
right
out on stage. Or you're slurring your words because you're too drunk. Not to say these guys were perfect, but they really knew that the music is what paid their bills, and they respected musicianship, rehearsal after rehearsal, and being prepared and coming to the stage and really respecting the craft of being a musician. Rather than living the rock star life and just getting completely fucked up.
Sure. And that's why they were nerds. No, I'm just kidding. But this song, if I may, sounds like rock and roll here.
It does. Like classic rock.
Is this Limelight?
Yeah, Limelight. Yeah.
What a great voice Geddy Lee has. Unique. It's got a higher tone to it. He also played funky bass grooves too, so I always give Neil Peart the nod as the best in the band. But Geddy Lee is pretty talented himself.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm a fan.
You've heard this song before, right?
No, I haven't heard any of their music before.
You hadn't heard Tom Sawyer somewhere?
Never.
They play that in arenas.
That's crazy.
If they did, I didn't pay attention to it. It was literally, kid you not, it's my first time hearing the song. Yeah.
This is a hit right here. You'll hear this on your local rock and roll station.
I like it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's a clip from Geddy Lee talking about early influences for the band Rush.
Our influences were so diverse and so there were so many different bands we loved. Of course, all the early British blues bands really got us started.
Yeah, yeah.
And we played very much in the style of all those early bands like John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Jeff Beck, and people like that.
Cream. Yeah.
Cream, for sure. And then as time went on and progressive rock became a huge influence to all of us, probably less so to Alex than it was to me, but and Neil was very influenced by progressive rock. And then you just start listening to all kinds of things. You know, I was a big Joni Mitchell fan. I liked Paul Simon songwriting, you know. Al had his own things that he was into, and you brought all these things to the table in Rush, and it was fine, you know, that nothing was verboten. As long as we felt we could do it, and we could do it authentically, it was fine. And so that's how our style morphed, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. I like that.
Verboten, good choice of words.
I know, I looked it up. It means forbidden, especially by an authority.
Yeah, it's like walking out of the line.
Good,
getting out of line.
Good word usage from a nerd, see?
Yeah, they're nerds.
That's
nerds.
Why, yeah. Nerds!
Music nerds. I mean,
we're nerds.
In high school, I must say, the band kids, I wish I would have been a nerd. I always looked at the band kids like nerds. You didn't look at the band as they were nerds?
No, because I had a lot of homies in the band, and they were cold.
I was in the band.
The band kids would all be piled up, like, hanging out with all their instruments, like, sitting in a pile waiting by their class.
I played
the
trombone.
They did look pretty nerdy.
You did play trombone.
I did like the vibe they set at the football game and the basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
I did like the pep rally band.
That's when they become cool.
Yeah. I never did that.
Well, so back home, like back in St. Louis, so we had a thing where we always have battle of the bands. So, like, the city schools,
yeah,
you know, were, like, pretty much all the black kids. Went, yeah. And then occasionally, like, some of the county schools would have good bands. And we have a thing called May Day Parade. So it's, like, the first weekend in May every year. And it's down one of the longest streets in the city, go from the city to the county. And, like, all these high school bands, they line up and go out there and play. And that's how you earn your rep. And so, like, the bands, we out, like, back home, we love the bands. Yeah. Love the bands.
Bands are fun.
Hell yeah.
Marching bands are fun.
Hell yeah. And you got a lot of hot girls in bands, too, now.
Two of my daughters went to college because of marching
bands.
Yeah.
You got the HBCU bands.
But they've been to, and they both, I know my oldest went to Thanksgiving and stuff, but.
All right, I'm flipping the record.
Flipping the record.
Such good music. First half.
How many? I've been the Pride of the Southland, University of Tennessee. Our band is dope, you know.
Here we go.
How many albums has this band had? I know that they toured for 40 years. I mean, the fact that we've heard all these horror stories about bands that get together, they put out a few albums, and then they don't get along. You got to spend all this time on the road, especially with these guys in the beginning in a small van, and you're living with these people.
Damn, Russ.
You got to get along. These guys got along for 40 years.
19 albums.
All they did, what, 19?
19 albums,
are you on
sir.
Crack, dude?
That's crazy.
Says right here, buddy.
They've done 19. That's awesome. I mean, well, if you think about it, see, Too Short has done, 16 albums?
Yeah. How many number one hits?
They got 19 studio albums.
So that's an album.
They have 11 live albums. And they have 11 compilation albums.
So they have
in
more.
My count, that's 41.
That's a lot of freaking albums.
That's an album plus per year.
So you figure every year they did a tour,
they recorded an album. Yeah.
That's
some of them were live, so
right.
That was kind of automatic record, you know, so that's cool.
And then you said how many. They had 19 studio albums, right?
Yeah, 19.
And then the compilation albums.
11.
Oh, dude, that's insane.
Yeah, that's insane. They have, since they started in 1974, they have 24 gold records and 14 platinum, three multi-platinum.
They played their last show as a band in 2015, August 1st on my birthday, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Did
August
you go
1st,
see him?
2015. I did not go to the shows at the Forum
in
Los Angeles. So a band from Toronto deciding to wrap up their career in California. And Geddy gets a little choked up at the end of the show, you know, saying goodbye. And Neil Peart always said that kind of hid behind the drums. He never would come out to the front of the stage. And so they're doing their last show at the Forum, and Geddy's up on stage, and he's thanking the fans, and then all of a sudden he gets his tap on the shoulder, and it's his drummer. And the drummer has never stepped foot on the front of the stage. He said that was always Geddy's space, my space. He said he never felt really comfortable going out in front of the crowd.
Sure.
But he did it on the last night, and they did a big bow, and it was quite the night.
That's awesome.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say their fans, you know, were there, and there's a documentary about their fans following them on their last tour. And these guys are, you want to talk about some nerds. These are the geeks of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are the ones, though, that are probably creating AI.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because the lady that's the founder of, they call them the misfits of rock and roll, these Rush followers. They have RushCon, like Comic-Con does their own convention.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
they
dope.
They have a convention. There was this one guy who had a filing system for every article that's ever been published about Rush, and he had it at his house in alphabetical order, and he's like showing it off to the point where it's even creeping the band out a little bit. This guy had VHS tapes of every copy of every concert that he could find, and he had them in alphabetical order. He had patches from the band all over himself, literally at this last concert, crying. One fan, they gave him a paraplegic outlook on life. You're not going to be able to move your limbs. Rush allegedly inspired the guy to walk.
Wow.
The band.
That's crazy.
He's in the stands for their last song, last show, and he's in tears. These fans of Rush, they
were the real deal.
They pride themselves on how many shows they've been to. Like, they go around like, how many? I've been to 171. I went to all 35 of their U.S. tours. I haven't missed one since 76. They're, like, really insane about the band.
I respect the hell out of that. It's so funny. I'm at different artists, but just the other day, I was out at a gig, and this chick came up to me and said she had seen Taylor Swift 49 times, and she planned to see her 13 more times this year. And I was wow. I'm like, Taylor Swift.
The passion. The Swifties.
Yeah,
Swifties,
I totally passion. Get that.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
wow.
Cool,
that's I respect
it's the same show, though, isn't it?
There's a funny part they put in this song right here where he burps. Getty burps, and it's like, I don't know if they left it in there because it was a mistake, and it's up at 8 minutes and 56 seconds, so I don't know how far we are into the song, but if you hear a burp, that like they left that in there.
It's not Tomcat.
The song's called The Camera Eye.
Yeah, but no, Raymo, every show's different. Like, the show setup is the same, but everything's different because you're in a different city, so the feel is different. You know.
This is the last song they did that was over 10 minutes long. This is a long song.
Yeah,
but it's good, though.
What is it, techno? No, I'm kidding.
No.
One cool thing about Rush shows, and one thing they decided to do at the very end of their career, was they did this like Back to the Future style concert, where when they first came out, they were modern day Rush. Older guys pushing 60, jamming to their fans that love them. And slowly they would do changes of the sets where it would like look like the venue was smaller. They would be playing small bars. The stage, they would have it set up like they did when they would play small bars when they first got started, to the point where the show would end with it looking like they're in high school and they're playing a high school auditorium.
Oh, that's dope.
And the way they would lay the set out and pay attention to detail with everything from the style of play that they had at the time to the dress that they would be wearing at the time and the backdrops, obviously, and everything on the stage. So I thought that was really creative. So this band, not only great musicians, very creative, very intelligent, and have massive Rush fans. Their fans are insane. Very unique band we're doing here this week.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm really digging this music. I like the instrumentalness of it.
Yeah.
And the unique sound. It is their own sound for sure. I'm waiting for that burp. The highlight.
We got pizza on the way, so I'll definitely have something for you later.
Yeah.
might come out both sides.
Yeah, for
this
real.
Song apparently highlights the cultural differences between the cities of New York and London, with New York grim-faced and forbidding and London wistful and weathered, which I don't really get that from it, but that's what it says here on SongFacts.
Sure, I'll take the word for it. I've never been to London.
London is great. You should go.
I'd love to.
Here comes
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, it's not it. That's me.
We must have missed the burp.
No, it's still coming up because
it's
at the
8-minute
mark.
Oh, this is still the same
song? Oh, yeah. This song is 10 minutes and 56 seconds.
Calm down, G.
I know. This is a long song.
Let's hear from Geddy Lee. I got another clip. This band stayed away from the drugs for the most part. But here's a clip from Geddy talking about life on the road and dealing with vices.
We had our time. We had our moments where we were doing too many gigs in a row.
Yeah.
And the drugs were coming at us fast and furious. But somehow or another, we kept our shit together through it all. But there was one leg of one tour that we did 23 one-nighters in a row. You know, you're operating on fumes, and you're doing whatever it takes to get through to the next show, or get through that show. So whether it's smoking a joint afterwards or doing a line of coke or whatever it takes, you did it. But in the end, we valued our work. We valued our quality of our gigs. So we never let it interfere. It couldn't interfere. Otherwise, there was no point to be there.
Yeah. Well, that's a marijuana's not a drug, but I get what he's going.
Yeah. Where he's going with it. I totally agree with him. I tried not to do a lot of super hard things when I had to work, you know? Maybe afterwards.
Especially in my line of work. I mean, yeah. You know, just being the DJ, and if you're really busy, I mean, you could be gigging every night, and sometimes you can have two gigs a day, you know?
And do a morning show.
Yep.
But sometimes it's that cocaine that keeps you up.
Damn right. It's a hell of a drug.
And how many one-nighters they would do?
25 in a row?
23 in a row is what
he said.
That's
crazy.
That's Michael Jordan's number.
Their stories are that they would tour and they would take like 1 week off a year, like Christmas, the week of Christmas. And sometimes they'd find holiday parties that they'd be able to do. So they literally toured for 40 straight years where they would take a week or two off here or there. And somewhere about the time that they turned 50 years old, they finally like took a few weeks off, where at one point they took an entire year off later in life. But up until like their mid-50s, pushing 60, they never like said, hey, we're taking a year off. Never.
That's crazy.
And they were a band when they were teenagers.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? That says? One, that they're dedicated, but they love what... It wasn't worth it for them. They're like, dude, we get to go out and do what we love to do every day.
They didn't work a day in their life.
At all. And occasionally... I guess we should go travel with the family or do something. Let's take that time. That's what's missing, I believe, in today's time, man. If you're an artist, love this shit. Love it, man. It's not work.
Let's see how disciplined they were with their money. You guys want to take a pick at, is it the drummer? Is it the lead guitarist, which I hear him shredding right now?
Yeah.
At Alex Lifeson and shredding the guitar. Or is it Geddy Lee, the lead singer? Memphis, how much do you think they're worth between the three of them? Like, if you were to give me the numbers, each one.
Each one. I want to say they're probably worth $1 billion. Because, I mean, if the fans that they have, I mean, I could see them being, like, worth
a billion dollar band.
But individually, I'll say Neil Peart might be worth $300 million, you know. Who I see? Let's see, where else am I going?
Then there's Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee, I'm gonna say he's probably worth 152, and then Alex, yeah, probably roughly around the same.
All right, well, all right. Then what do you say, Ramo? You're up.
I don't know if I'm gonna go into the specifics, but I would say they're probably closer to the maybe 875. Keeps popping in my head.
$875 million as a band.
Yeah, altogether.
And then divide that by three.
Roughly.
Okay. What about you, Tomcat?
I'm gonna go $100 million for Geddy, the lead singer, and then 80 for the guitarist and 60 for the drummer.
You probably looked that up.
I didn't. I'm not.
Now, last week we did Isaac Hayes, and he ended up being worth, I think, only $3 or $4 million when he died. We've been surprised at times guys have all the success and then don't have money when they move on. Now, these guys seem to have good heads on their shoulders. But the Rush, the members, their net worth is Alex Lifeson is worth $40 million, and he's alive.
All
right. Neil Peart died worth about $45 to $50 million, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And Geddy Lee's net worth, he's still alive, is at $50 million. So that puts him at around $150 million with all three of them, and they all three seem to have similar net worths.
I was way off.
$50 million is nothing to sneeze at.
Hell no, it ain't.
No, not at all.
Although with this inflation, right, inflation these days, $40 million, you could spend it quick. I mean, there's houses out there that are $20, $30 million easy, not far from where we are.
There's a home that's being built in my neighborhood right now, and they're asking $1.5, and I'm like, for what?
Well, take me... I mean, the only reason why I decided to come up with such a ridiculous number is because, like Gentry said, they had been touring for 55 years
straight. That's the reason why.
Not only that, these guys are estimated to have worldwide album sales at over 40 million.
That's insane. Yeah.
Being worth 50 million, though, isn't a bad place to be.
No, not at all. But
you can live off the interest. You can make about $60,000 a year off $1 million by just putting it in the bank.
Yeah. they obviously didn't like do a lot of investment things.
Well, if you, I mean, if you're smart with your money and just don't, you just get with, live within your means.
And that's probably what they did.
Yeah, I mean, because you, why they were happy with what they had. A lot of cars and all this shit. You don't, because you can't drive 5 cars at the same time.
Well, and they always, I think that was probably part of the draw for, you know, for me to them, is that they always sent to me, whenever I listened to their music and like heard things about them, a very down-to-earth band. Like, they weren't ever full of themselves. They were always very, any interview I ever heard them, they were very humble, you know, and grateful for everything, you know. Really, probably one of the most popular cult bands, I would say. Them, yeah. Fish. Who else?
String Cheese Incident is another one.
The Grateful Dead.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead.
Yep. Mm. This song here is called Witch Hunt. A little creepy fact about this song: it was recorded the same night that John Lennon was shot in New York, and the band was right in the middle of laying down this tune here when they heard the tragic news. Witch Hunt. Witch Hunt.
Part 3 of Fear.
Here's a quote from Geddy Lee. I think it's true for a lot of kids out there. He says, "Everything about being a kid is hard. Life is kind of torture when you're a kid. The band was a thing that saved his life from that torture." He said it like became his cocoon. It protected him, and it helped mold his identity, and in most ways, it gave him his identity. So the band to him was an escape.
Yeah, I get
so,
that.
Again,
yeah.
Living that nerd life, you know, the only thing that got you away from that, from the torture of being a kid, was picking up that bass and playing music. And he got so good at it, and he practiced it every day of his life, that he's respected by the great musicians of our time.
That's what he should be.
I like the synthesizers on this song. They're cool. Same person who did all the artwork on the cover did the synthesizers on this here song.
The cover, it says here, is a triple entendre, if you know what that means. Do you?
I do. That means it has 3 meanings, sir.
Yes. The front depicts movers who are carrying pictures. On the side, people are shown crying because the pictures passing by are emotionally moving.
Yes, they are.
And then finally, if you look at the back cover of this album, which, by the way, we have an original press from 1981 on this album, the back cover has a film crew that's making a motion picture of the whole scene on the front.
Interesting.
Very cool.
And it was photographed in Queen's Park in Toronto.
Which is now a homeless camp.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding, but probably.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here's another clip from lead man from Rush talking about not building a brand, but just rocking out and playing the music.
It didn't exist, no, really. Didn't. You know, first of all, we were not a band that got airplay easily. We had I guess, in context of the times, it was a crude sound. And we sounded a little bit too much like Zepp and a little bit too much like Humble Pie. So, you know, we were falling through the cracks. So the best way we could make friends and fans was to be on the road and to get out in front of people. So we opened for everybody we could, and we traveled constantly. And slowly and slowly, we built a groundswell.
But it was very gradual. I mean, it was really around the time of this album that it all finally came together. Now, there were some tough, lean times, certainly. Yeah. That period with Chris Astille. But it was a very gradual thing. And that was 6 years right there. Plus, we've been playing together for 6 years before that.
Right.
So no overnight success. It took its time.
I respect any and everybody who's successful when they put it out there and let folks know that it took time.
Sure.
To be first, you know, versus, you know, you have society today where people like, you can instantly be this or instantly be that, when it's not true at all. It's very, very flash in a bottle that someone can become an overnight success the right way, you know.
Sure.
But anything else is putting in the work.
Oh, it definitely takes a lot. And even with people who seem to be overnight success, there's always a lot of work people do not see.
Yeah.
But also a lot of those overnight successes, they're like to the moon and they're right back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're quickly the most popular thing, and then a year later you say, whatever happened to that instant success? I don't mm-hmm. know what happened.
Yeah.
Rush put in the work, and then they did it decade after decade, to where they played over 40 years together touring as a trio.
That's our lifetime. They've been touring our entire lifetime.
That's fun.
Extremely
fun. That is
fun.
Extremely fun.
But at times, grueling.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I can imagine.
When you're going from town to town and you're falling asleep on the headrest of the seat in front of you, and you're sleeping in a different place every night. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the worst life, but it can be grueling for sure.
Nobody said it was going to be pretty.
Play the same songs every town you go in. But there's got to also be gratification when you're playing the songs that you work so hard for, and they're singing them back to you, and they're jamming out. And there are other things you'll see at Fish, or Fish. I say Fish because it's similar at Fish shows, but Rush shows. The security that would travel with them when they became really popular said he was amazed at how you would see the same faces. Like, I just saw this guy in Cleveland, and then the next night we're in Chicago, and then the next night we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and then we're in Minneapolis, and I see the same freaking guy. He's got tickets to all the shows, like The Dead, like Fish. Fans were so fanatic about this band, they would travel around to see them night after night.
That's who was bringing them the drugs.
Probably.
Who got the money?
I got the Peruvian pink.
I wish. Not in 15 years.
I love that for them. I also love it for anybody that's authentically doing it now, and I love it for anybody that's going to authentically do it when we're no longer here.
This song here is called Vital Signs, and it's like on the corkier side of Rush's sound. Vocalist Geddy Lee was recalling to a newspaper in 2011 that it was a hoot to write. They wrote it in about 5 minutes in the studio, just put it together quickly and had a lot of fun doing it, and it's still fun to play. Vital Signs. That's the last song on the album, dude.
Vital Signs.
That was great.
That's all she
yes,
wrote?
It was.
That was great.
That's it, buddy.
That was a short album, but it was very, very good. 40
like
minutes.
It. Yeah, I like it.
That's amazing.
So did your mom.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
Let's play some more. Let's play Tom Sawyer again.
I'm a fan of this band.
Yeah, bring it back. This will be the first time that we ever play something twice.
This is the first time we've ever done that. Yeah, do that, TK.
Play it again?
Yeah, put Tom Sawyer back.
We'll talk out of it. We'll let Gentry do his outro with Tom Sawyer.
Krispy Kreme.
I like it.
All right, so this is a double. You know, rock and roll, they like to do this kind of thing. It's called a double shot of rock. So we're giving you Tom Sawyer two times. It's a double shot.
This is the first time we've ever done this on a... What episode are we on right now, Vinyl Boys?
Close to 90 at this point.
This might be number 90.
Yeah.
Because I think we should be at 90. This might be number 90. I'm going to go out there and say... But point is, we've never done this before. Like, ever.
No, this song is awesome.
This is a hell of a band, man.
Yeah.
This is great.
They are Hall of Famers. They were inducted in 2013 in the band that brought them in, the band that inducted them, Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl.
Wow.
That's dope.
And their drummer, Hawkins. What was his first name?
Damn it.
He just passed away.
Yeah.
He did.
And he was a huge fan of Neil Peart. And so it was a really cool moment when they got enshrined into into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, I gotta get
it. Would you like to know what Rolling Stone thinks is the top 10 Rush songs?
I'm sure this one's right up there, but go ahead.
Number 10, Subdivisions. Number 9, La Villa Strangeguito. Probably said that wrong.
That was Strangeguito the way you said it.
Number 8, The Trees.
Smoking Them Trees.
Number 7, The Spirit of Radio. Number 6, Xanadu. Number 5 is Red Barchetta, which was on this album. I hope I'm saying that right. Number 4, Working Man. Number 3, Limelight was on this album. Number 2, 2012. That's crazy. I didn't know they had a song called that. And number 1, as you can guess, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, buddy.
Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah,
Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah, you know I just saw that right now.
Now just listening to Rush, I can hear a little bit of where Foo Fighters get a little bit of their sound from.
Oh yeah, they love the band Rush. Yeah. Dave Grohl and well respected this band Rush. Not in the beginning. You know who thought they were a little annoying when they toured with them was the band Kiss. Mostly Gene Simmons. Ace Frehley loved the band Rush because Ace liked to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised to know that Gene Simmons did not party. The only thing that motivated Gene Simmons was the puss.
Yeah, he was a womanizer.
He loved the women, but he wasn't too much into the drugs and the drinking. Well, when Rush opened up for Kiss on one of the tours, Rush would be smoking pot and snorting coke with Ace Frehley, and Gene would get pissed off because the girls would want to hang out with, you know, do the drugs. Gene would be like, come with me. I'm the lead singer. I'm the biggest star here. I've got the biggest tongue and the biggest wallet. Come with me.
Right.
And stories from Rush was Gene wasn't too nice to them out on tour. But most bands and most rock stars really respected Rush because they took the musicianship so seriously. So when you're a band and you see a band that's so tight and so in the pocket and doing amazing things that you don't see bands do live and sounding so good, you respect the band Rush.
Yeah.
Or you're a hater like Gene Simmons.
Hater.
Butt licker with his tongue.
You stupid makeup.
What's it like
makeup?
To wake up and be a hater?
We haven't done a Kiss album yet, though.
We should do a Kiss album at some point.
They are a good band. And
they are.
Gene's an interesting guy.
Extremely.
Even though he's a giant douche canoe.
Doesn't he have a show now?
He's had a few of them.
Yeah, he is. But he looks mean. He reminds me of a young Lou Ferrigno.
Ferrigno.
The original Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
For those of you not familiar with that. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Dem Vinyl Boys. Next week, Memphis is going to surprise us with a piece of vinyl. So make sure you stay tuned for next week's episode. Also, thanks to our sponsors, Factor Meals. Meals ready in 2 minutes or less.
Yum.
Also, BetterHelp. If you're looking for some therapy, betterhelp.com/vinyl.
Do it.
Will there ever be another band and a fan base with this kind of bond that lasts this long?
Us.
I was just about to say that. Us.
Yeah, them Vinyl Boys, maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks to the fans.
Thanks to the fans. Appreciate y'all.
We love the fans. Continue to like and subscribe.
We out. Peace out. We'll see you next week. Keep the needle in the groove and keep it groovy. We'll see you next week.
Deuces.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.